a problem here, and it's more than just Alvin streaming Punisher. When life begins to suck, who's reporting it? Luckily, got two friends who you won't forget. Coming live, Alvin and friend on survival. Laughing nonstop, case drops on a cycle. Louder than intrusive thoughts off an iPhone. How they make the world seem bright with the lights off? AFs, it might as well stay up. Lies being told like that dinosaur BS. Magnifying glass to the ground if they don't see us. Having the time, roasting your favorite pizza. Bougie ain't an option, it's the way. Take it to the grave, add moving to the place. You already know when they take the case. Laugh the pain away, it's affirmative.
Hello, good people. Welcome to another Affirmative Murder Minisode. It's been a while, okay? A lot has changed. It's been some time since we've done a Tales from the Hood episode. I'm super excited to be back. Fran, what's up? Let's get down to these submissions, man. How does it feel to be back?
Feels good, man. It's been a while, man. We haven't, again, we can't do these if we don't get the emails.
I keep trying to bring that point across, man. Like, this is we are very much like going to the trough,
yeah,
to pull from you guys' life experiences. If you guys don't bring them in, we don't get them. So again, affirmativemurder@gmail.com, TFTH. We'd love to hear from you. Got a brand new slew of emails. Got a plethora of ones to swipe through. I'm excited. I got some audio ones. Maybe we'll get into one of those this episode.
Yeah.
Excited to really start diving into these new TFTHs from some new listeners.
I'm about to say we should have some new ones. Like, what's going on?
Yeah. No, we got an influx, man. So I'm excited to be back. And let's get into it. This is the first email. This one starts off with rent control, my neighbor, and a dismemberment. So,
whoa, okay.
I'm in already. You know how to make a title, I'll tell you that. Please don't use my real name or locations. Call me Bethany, the name I use when rando dudes try and chat me up. Chat me up, a friend. I'm already feeling this is from across the pond. So I'm already excited. Dismemberment and British talk. So I'm here for this so far. Hey, love you guys. Been listening since before the ads. I don't even know how to. That's a while, I guess. Yeah.
That's a while for sure.
Yeah, man. That's a while for sure. Mad respect for
is
you
that
both.
Like a shadow?
Yeah, I don't know. What do you mean? I was listening to you guys when you guys were just bums. Nobody wanted to advertise things on your stupid podcast. No, okay. We're going to not take it that way. She's got mad respect for us both, though. And love hearing your perspectives on life. Except that one time Fran went... We're going to just move past that.
All right, well, let me hear it, but you can cut it out. What's you about to say?
Except for that one time that Fran...
I did it, so though. I don't remember that. I don't remember
listen,
that.
Shout out to Bethany.
No. DM me, because whoever that... Reach out to me on the socials, because I don't remember that at all. I need proof, because we're not going to throw dirt on my name like that, because I don't remember doing that at all. So reach out to me, please.
You don't remember?
No. And okay. I'm not going to let that one slide, because I ain't like that.
So Bethany, send him the audio clip, please. so he will issue a statement to the public, you know, yeah, once he's met with the
And if I didn't, I'm going to let you know. I'm going to let you hear it, because we're not doing that. Sorry.
So, in honor of your 300, I've been meaning to send this forever. I moved to the city in August 1997. What city? She said, don't say. I moved to the city in August 1997 and lived with my brother, who was and is a giant dickhead. I didn't last the full year in the apartment and found a studio to move into 10 months later. It was a panic move, and I weirdly lucked out with this vintage, adorable rent-controlled apartment and moved in the early summer of 1998. The building has 9 units, 3 per floor, and mine has one long main wall in common with another studio. Sounds like the Hey Arnold house. I turned 23 a few weeks after moving in, and the woman, Debbie, started banging on the walls because I was talking to a friend that stopped by to hang out while I was getting ready. Mind you, it was chill, not some late night booze party. Then she started banging on the wall every time I walked into my place with my shoes on. She's saying they're sharing a wall, so shoes is crazy. Not that, you know, if you're over somebody, you know, you got to watch your stomping, but walking adjacent to a wall and somebody being like, hey, stop walking with your shoes on in your house,
yeah,
is wild. I would run into her in the hallway and she would act like nothing ever happened, which I hate. You know, cowards don't like smoke, you know, running from the smoke. Instead, she would trap me into weird conversations, bitching about everyone's business in the building. The tenant above her moved out shortly after because he couldn't take it. This lady's a menace. At one point after her banging on the walls, I came out of my apartment and banged on her door. When she opened the door, I just started yelling, "What? What is the problem?" And she acted like she had no idea what was going on. Also, for extra fun, she always had cats and never cleaned the litter box. Our doors are inches away from each other, and so I would have to hold my breath when I came home or went to work. It was atrocious. Oh, just ammonia and cat shit. And, you know, they make the fragrance beads in the litter, so you get a weird whiff of nice smell with the mixture of piss and shit. It's a crazy cat combination. Cats should not be in houses. It's insane.
What? What do you mean?
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, man. As I've gotten older, I'm really realized, like, the idea of having a shit box in my house I got to take care of and find a place for it to not interact with my kitchen, in bedroom. I don't want catching whiffs of it. I just don't want to catch whiffs of piss and shit in the house.
Yeah.
I think about 5 or so years after living there, she possibly started taking antidepressants and the angry bullshit mellowed out. It was probably really good for her, and she surprisingly stopped the wall banging. However, the hallway trapped gossip chat ramped up. She would sit on the stairs in front of me, and she was a big lady, like 300 pounds maybe. Remember that because it's relevant. So no getting around her when she's on the steps. She would talk about everyone in the building, everyone. And I would get stuck, so stuck forever. All the damn time. For another, what, 14 years? Damn, you were living in this apartment mad long. So fast forward my life. I get myself knocked up by myself and happily have the baby. She is cute as fuck. Now I am trapped talking to Debbie while I was pregnant and needed to pee or eat a whole pig or take a goddamn nap. Even worse, after the baby, Debbie would literally fucking cough and then grab my kid's hands or touch her cheeks. Gah! So she may be late 50s by this point. Gray hair, cane, always wears a weird fisherman-ish looking hat. She has health issues. She is planning on maybe moving to the country, but concerned because she doesn't drive and has to get to the doctor and things like that. You know, she got to run her errands. But she doesn't know what else to do. I mean, I feel for her, but also can't understand why she didn't just hold on to her apartment at all costs. Because, as she said, it's rent controlled. I'm sure that's hard to find. You know, people going up on the rents every day, especially these days. She really must have been in a bad way. A few months later, it's move out day, and I am with my newborn, and she is in the lobby of the building with John, the guy that lives a few floors up. John is the sweetest and is helping her move out. She tells me that she lucked out. Long story, of course, but a Whole Foods opened up about a block from us, and she had been hanging out on the benches outside and became friends with this woman who was one of the managers there. And it just so happens that she lives only a few blocks away, has a room for rent for less than what we're paying at this building, and she can keep her cats. So that is where she was going. And I wished her luck. And I walked away and thanked the Lord that I don't believe in, that I was free from her. Not so fucking fast. It turns out now she just sits outside the Whole Foods all day long. And guess what? I walk by it constantly. And you know what else? She waves me over and traps me. Still. Fuck. So over the next 6 months, she lets a few other details out, and it turns out that this woman that she is renting from was actually the daughter of the master tenant and lived in the apartment with another woman. So we have oldest woman, who's the master tenant, Whole Foods manager, who's the daughter and roommate, and the room became available because the oldest woman, who's the master tenant, had passed away, and the Whole Foods lady was looking for an older-looking lady that could pass as the master tenant in order to keep the rent control prices. So this woman who worked at Whole Foods was looking for somebody that kind of looked old enough to be her mom so that she wouldn't have to renegotiate with whoever owns the building, I guess. And so it was a big scheme to get this lady who talks too much to come move in with her and not necessarily pretend to be her mother, but that's what she wanted, somebody that looked like her mother and people wouldn't ask questions. Debbie even had to lay in the bed. Oh, wow. Debbie's the lady who used to sit on the steps at this woman's apartment, and now she's over here. Debbie even had to lay in the bed moaning with only her gray hairs peeking out of the blanket when there was a management walkthrough of the apartment to make it look like the original tenant was still alive. So there's somebody coming and checking in to see how things are going, which is crazy as hell to be like walking through my apartment, making sure things are copacetic, I guess. And this lady had to pretend to be her sick mom. Anyway, as the spring of 2018 marched on, I started crossing the street to avoid the Whole Foods, but soon just kind of forgot and realized I had not really seen much of her. But honestly, I wasn't super sad about that. Then, one Saturday night, I'm bartending with a good friend, and he says to me, Anna, his girlfriend, ran into her old friend Olivia, and she told her the craziest fucking story. Apparently, her boss at the Whole Foods, who was the manager, got arrested for murdering and dismembering her older roommate that had just moved in not too long before. And I fucking frantically lost my mind. I text messaged Anna in a panic to ask what the name was of the people involved, and she sent me a link. The article is titled, Friends Worry, Chopped Up Body is Missing Woman. Mm. And sure as shit, it's Debbie. So the third roommate of this apartment comes home and Whole Foods lady tells her that she can't use the bathroom. There was a metallic smell, and the next day she heard sawing sounds coming from inside the bathroom and later smelled rotten eggs.
Damn.
She asked where Debbie was, and the Whole Foods, the WF lady told her that she left, but not the way she should have. She left, but not the way she should have. Hey, that's very like kind of giving away too much. That's too, you know, that's too ominous to talk like that. About 2 weeks later, the roommate confided in a friend that she was worried that something bad had happened because Debbie's belongings and cats were all still there when she came home that night. She suspected something terrible had happened. This friend walked into a local police station that day and told the police department what he had heard. On that same day, John, my upstairs neighbor, called the police for a welfare check on Debbie as she had not been responding to his messages for a few weeks. The police stopped by and Whole Foods lady welcomed them in. The police went downstairs to look inside the storage locker. They found a large plastic container and the pungent odor of something decaying. Mm. When they opened the container, police said they found her arms and legs had been cut off and stacked on top of her intact head and torso. The medical examiner found evidence of blunt force trauma along with sharp force injuries that prosecutors said indicated the death was a homicide. It turns out Debbie wasn't getting along very well with the Whole Foods lady and had been told to leave. A few weeks later, the Whole Foods lady and her had gotten into a beef over it, and the Whole Foods lady went bananas. That's funny. That's ironic because she works at a grocery store. I see what you did there. I did contact a friend at the police department to pass on the message that Debbie had a way about her and that if she was being threatened with eviction, there's a possibility that she had threatened to out the death of the master tenant to the landlord. For example, it might have went something like this. Kick me out and I'll have you kicked out. Basically saying, I'll tell everybody that I'm not your mom, actually. And then you'll get kicked out, too.
Yeah. If I go down, you're coming down with me.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Which I love. Burn it. I love it. Elmo meme. I love that. Yeah. Everybody goes
burn
down.
It all down. Yeah.
Yep. Do I think the motivation was to not lose a rent-controlled apartment? Yes, probably. But I guess the Whole Foods lady has her rent fully paid at this point in lockup. because she's in prison for murder. Also, rest her soul. And no fat shaming here. I like a thicklet. What? But I do suspect that the dismemberment was out of necessity. Doesn't make it any less psychopathic and deranged, but I don't think Debbie could have been moved by one person alone, given her size. Which is why she told us to keep that in mind earlier when she's about the steps thing. So, was Debbie a tough lady and challenging to be around for me? Yes. But man, not enough to be done like that. I know her heart was in the right place, even though it was trying on me. I think about her every time I walk past that Whole Foods. I give her an, oh, Debbie, when I come home and go from there. I can't find anything on the sentencing of the Whole Foods lady. It looks like her trial was delayed due to COVID. She pled not guilty, though. How does that even work? Good question. And then there's a part in there for us where she gives details that are not for everybody else to listen to. So I'm not going to read it. But it ends with, it's fucked, with some article links, and it says, all love. And then she followed up with an email. I'm not sure if this is just for us. So I'm going to read it to you guys because I'm nice like that. It says, oh, I forgot one small detail. The original master tenant, the murderer's mom, had moved in when the murderer was a kid. So this was a rent-controlled three-bedroom apartment with rates from over 40 years ago. It was like $1,000 for the whole thing. The murdering Whole Foods manager had lived there her whole life. So for people who aren't unaware of what rent control means, I'm going to guess this is a New Yorker, but it doesn't say it in there. But So I'm assuming Bethany lives in, if not New York City, a major metropolitan city, because rent control basically means the rent stays the same. You're locked in at that rate, which is crazy. So if rent is now $7,000 in New York, but you have been in that apartment since 1973, then you're paying 1973 rates. So this is why Bethany was saying, I don't know why this lady was trying to move out of the apartment that we were living in, because it's rent controlled and you're talking about moving to the country. It can't be cheaper than living here because the rent's not going up and you get to live in the city and it's impossible to find something this cheap in the city. So, yeah, it's pretty crazy to be paying $1,000 rent in a major metropolitan city.
Yeah. Is the building shitty, though? Like, what else?
I mean, for some people, it doesn't matter. Some people paying $5,000 and living in a shitty building.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that's a steady income for the landlord, that's for sure.
For sure.
You're going to worry about, you know, vacancies and all that shit.
Yeah.
Affirmative Murder is brought to you by My Life in a Book. With Mother's Day right around the corner, I just know you guys are thinking about a truly special gift for your mom. Well, let me tell you about a pretty priceless gift. MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book that you could pass down from generation to generation, which I think is a pretty awesome memento to leave behind. Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions that you want to ask. Your mother or the mother can either type her response or record her voice. MyLifeInABook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It would be like preserving her voice and her stories for all of eternity. Your mom's giving you a lifetime of stories, and this is your chance to give her a way to share them. I'm in the middle of my MyLifeInABook.com journey, and I'm really excited to see how it turns out. I've been asking some pretty thought-provoking and funny questions, and you know, I'm excited to see the response, but I'm also just excited to have the physical book in my hands and know that I can look back on it in 20, 30 years. The interface is super user-friendly. The questions are super easy to set up. It's a breeze of a process. So what I need you to do is check out MyLifeInABook.com. That's MyLifeInABook.com. And use code AMP, that's A, M as in Mother's Day, P, at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for the mom in your life this Mother's Day. One more time, that's MyLifeInABook.com. Use code AMP for 10% off today.
So thank you to Bethany or whoever you are out there, your real name. We really appreciate that. I'm going to end things off with a short one. It goes, hey, guys, first off, love your show. I'm a fairly new listener and a huge fan of true crime. I love listening to my podcast while I'm driving or making dinner for my family. I've been looking for a new podcast to get into since I feel like some of the ones I've been on are getting a little stale. But y'all know how to keep it lively and have me listening to your every word and rant. Please don't stop putting out new content. So let's get into it. So lately, I've been thinking about my childhood. You know how nowadays we're inspecting every detail of the car seat and positioning of the seatbelt. But when we were kids, our parents would throw us in the back seat made for three with five other siblings. Yeah, those sort of things. Well, I have a story that unbelievably left me for a while, but has come back to my memory in full force. When I was a kid, we lived in this house where all the houses were connected. Our house was actually not connected to another home on both sides. That's you're doing big things. Where you got the in unit, so you get a little bit extra yard, a little less walls sharing. That's a nice spot to be. So, you know, so she's saying the house was only connected on one side. We had this tiny little walkway slash alley that led from our front street to a back alley street. And we were the only ones on the block with that sort of access. So you can imagine all sorts of riffraff cutting through that path.
So was it a gap and then it's another house on the other side? I'm guessing.
No. I think it's like an open field or something, or I get what you're saying. Maybe possibly like a little bit of space that made a pathway.
Yeah,
possibly. Maybe something like that. Yeah, it's a little shortcut. So sometime around age 9 or 10, things started getting freaky. Night after night, someone would break into our home.
Damn.
They never made it all the way in. Yeah, that's just freaky.
It's like, Thursday.
Here we go again. Another burglar.
Another burglar.
Those dang burglars. Like
another cat burglar.
Yeah. they never made it all the way in. You come in the back door and enter a laundry room with a half bath in it. and past the laundry room was a door that led into the kitchen slash house. They wouldn't make it past the laundry room. Why? They have Home Alone booby traps?
You got like a steel fucking security door there. We got to turn the shit, turn the big ass wheel in front of it.
They get stuck in our panic room. That's just a weird, like, mysterious thing. You just they never make it past the laundry room, and they're never heard from again. So, after the first night, my brother heard someone in there, started shouting, and they ran out, leaving the door open before we could catch them. After that, we started putting a chair against the doorknob. I know, not secure and dumb, but hey, that's the 90s for you. This isn't Family Matters. Don't do catchphrases. That's the 90s for you. You know, burglars come in, you put a chair up against the door to try to protect yourself from having your whole family killed in the middle of the night. You know, 90s stuff. This became almost a norm. Fucked up, I know. One night, I had a friend sleep over. It had been a... Hey, why would you let your... What? Do the other people in the neighborhood know your house keeps getting broken into? My child would not be staying at your house.
At all. You need to tell people. That's something you need to bring up. They don't make it past this door anyway, so don't even worry.
Yeah, they never make it past this door. And don't you go... If you wake up in the middle of the night and you want a snack, don't go in the laundry room. It's like, Jesus Christ, what's going on in that laundry room? It had been a few weeks since we had any break-ins at this point, but I told her anyway, almost like a sleepover ghost story. Shortly after, I fell asleep on the couch while my friend watched TV. Suddenly, she's shaking me awake, saying, "They're here. They're in your house." I peeked through the cracks under the door and spotted boots walking past. At this point, our hearts are racing. And although it had been a norm for me, I was feeding off of her terror. We were terrified. I went to get my mom. She opened her window and yelled out, "I have a sledgehammer and I'll smash your head if you don't leave." Turned out her confidence worked. The person left quickly. My friend and I spent the rest of the night in the kitchen, under the table, armed with a bunch of butcher knives. LOL. I can't make this up. If I was your friend, I would have spent the rest of the night at my own house.
Yeah. What do you have? What do you have? But you must have something.
Yeah, there's something that this person's not telling us about their family, or like they're like the National Treasure family, yeah. Or they have
everybody
like
just keeps trying to rob you three times a week.
They have a vault of gold or something. Something that they're not telling us.
You leaving something out. I don't appreciate
What does your family do? Are you guys into the cocaine? Why do they keep breaking into your house? Why does word keep going around like, yo, we got to get in there. Something in there. We got to get that.
Nobody can get past the laundry room on Pro Home 54 or something.
And they're like
that.
But it's worth it, bro. They have jade eggs. They got something. I'm not sure the mysterious person ever returned. Or, to be honest, I can't remember. Eventually, it did stop. But being an adult now, I'm like, why didn't we call the cops? Listen. It sounds like you need to talk to your parents, because there's a reason they didn't call the cops. If they didn't call the cops, there's a reason they didn't call the cops.
Just throw the chair in front of the door. We'd be all right.
Yeah, it's fine. It's good. It's okay. And if they make it a little further in the house, we got some stuff for them anyway. She starts remembering her dad saying stuff like that. Like,
they got landmines.
Yeah, they don't want to deal with the stuff we have on the inside. If they come in the house, they should be afraid of us. Anyway, go to bed, baby. I love you. But she proceeds with like, why were we just okay to go back to bed? Like, this was an everyday thing. Looking back, I believe it was probably just a homeless person looking to get out of the cold. As I said, they not only never came into the main house, they never seemed to try. They never took anything and returned often, as if they knew that they could camp out there because they've done it before. The access from the alley made it easy to get out quickly. Anyway, sorry, I know this one is a bit long, but I had to get it out. It's almost funny. Almost. And only because, like, who were we that we were just comfortable living like this? In fear. Thanks for reading my story. If this doesn't make it on the show, I can't wait to hear your reactions. Kaylee, shout out to you. And that also is a good point she makes at the end there to clear things up. Like, it is possible this was the same person over and over and over again, looking to just have a safe place to sleep for the night. That's still crazy as shit. Yeah. Like,
what kind of door was it, though? What kind of door do you have where people can just access the laundry room?
Yeah, were they not fixing the door? Like, it got knocked off the hinges one time and they just kept
closing
it back?
It was definitely more than one person. I'm sure homeless people go, hey, man, I got to spy you.
Yeah, it's warm, bro. It smells like Snuggles fabric softener, because it's right by the laundry room, but don't go past the laundry room. Well, Jesus. Okay, well, yeah, that's good. It is very strange. Even like whether Fran is right and it was multiple people, or you're right and it, Kaylee, and it was just one person who really felt like they had some kind of connection to your home, felt like it was their home too. It's weird that you guys didn't get a better's door or call the police or a securities. Like I understand you're saying the 90s, but when we say that's the 90s, we mean like, you know, kids didn't wear helmets when they rode their bikes or
not let people access my house whenever they felt
you
like.
You know, people just break
on
in.
On Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Yeah.
People just would break in, and we just put doors in front of the, you know, put chairs in front of the doors or put Christmas bells on the doorknob so we know when they come in. You know, 90s stuff. And it's not like we had a, what's the thing called? The little. It's not like we had a ring. You know, we didn't have a ring alarm. So, like, ADT was a thing in the 90s. Don't throw this on the 90s. The 90s is, this is your family. You guys are just very lackadaisical about break-ins. And I don't think that's very 90s of you. I think you guys are on your own shit, and I'm suspicious of what you had in the house now. I feel like you left something out of this email, and I'm not going to push because I don't want to be involved, but there's a reason nobody called the police, and there's a reason they weren't going past that laundry room. So, and your mom just is like, I got a sledgehammer.
They was just like, they don't come past. They never come past here, so we shouldn't be worried about it.
Yeah, they're not coming to get the goods. They're like, what's the goods, daddy? He's like, my family, because you guys are the most valuable things in the world, other than the kilos I have upstairs and been underneath the bed. Just like bricks, tan wrapped and tan duct tape bricks under the bed. And that's why nobody ever called the police.
Pops was moving weight like that?
Yeah, man. He was fucking Blow. He was Johnny Depp and Blow. Anyway, guys, listen, affirmativemurder@gmail.com. We cannot do this without you guys. Literally, I don't mean that figuratively. Like, you guys make the show what it is. Like, literally, if you guys don't get emails in, we don't do episodes. That just is that's just how it goes. It's a very symbiotic relationship, man. We feed off you guys. This is the ecosystem. So pull your traumas out. Pull your hidden memories out. Pull your embarrassing stories out and get them to affirmativemurder@gmail.com. Tales from the Hood, whether it's audio, written, that's really about it. We don't need video submissions because it doesn't translate. We don't need it. Right. You could write in old timey English. Write a handwritten letter and mail it to the P.O. box. Whatever you want to do. I don't know. That'd take a little longer. Take a little bit longer. But just, you know, or just do affirmativemurder@gmail.com. Tales from the Hood. That's probably the easiest way. We'd love to hear from you guys, man. Get them in. Can't wait to hear from you guys.